For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody, as you guys all get back from vacation, we are back as well. David Moore Studio here with Austin Owens and Jake Middleton on the Tip of the Tower podcast. NFL fantasy football drafts are all over, fellas. Oh, you both had one tonight.
Yeah, went well to start, did not go well to end. That's the way she goes, but we'll roll with the punches. I'm happy with my other two teams, so that's all I can say.
Jake, I know this was one that you were kind of roped into doing someone a favor.
I mean, fantasy drafts, I can only really keep track of two. Basically, if you can set it up for me and just tell me when I have to draft, I'll do it. But I'm probably not gonna be the most attentive person in the whole league, so.
Yeah, I can. I gave up one league this year. I said two was going to be my maximum, unless the third one was really enticing, and I didn't get an enticing third one, so I am happy with two. Yeah. The three of us are in a fantasy league together. For the first time. Jake, I joined your league last year.
Yep.
Almost made the playoffs. I think I came very, very close last year, if I'm not mistaken. But this year will be different because Patrick Mahomes is my quarterback.
I don't even remember who's on my team, to be honest with you. They just said I did a good job, so I felt good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. You won the preseason award or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, that's all that matters to me. Austin, give me the chip.
Austin makes sure he goes with the draft rankings so that Yahoo will give him the top grade.
No, if I was going to take draft rankings, I would have gone Marquise Brown, who for some reason has like 200 points, and he's the Ravens' fourth receiver.
Yeah, and he's got, what's the clown throwing to him? Lamar Jackson.
Speaking of Louisville quarterbacks, do you guys watch that game the other night?
No. I just watched when they traded fumbles.
Yeah. So that was just for a stretch. There was three straight plays in a row that were fumbled.
Yeah, that was a very interesting. College football is always going to be the more entertaining product, I feel.
Absolutely.
Just
than the NFL.
I don't mean in terms of the play. I just mean in terms of the atmosphere, which makes these players do stupid things that make the game entertaining. Not really based on ridiculous plays. Like the NFL, you're going to get the best. Like it's the best of the best. You're going to get the better play. And I just feel like the atmosphere brings something different to college football than the NFL. Obviously, there's some decent crowds, but college, it's just something that you can't match in the NFL.
We're doing everything in our power to not talk Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
Well... Everyone's back.
I'm cool with it.
Everyone's back from vacation. Kyle Dubas apparently went to Hawaii. Very nice.
Lucky him.
If I was Kyle Dubas, I'd be in Hawaii as much as possible.
Yeah.
But now, The relaxing time, although I don't think he really relaxed on that vacation, let's be honest here. You know, we haven't heard... I mean, Marner's been the only one talking, and he hasn't said much. He's declined comments, too. But we haven't heard a word from his agent, except from the through the Zurich Lions. Which, we like, it's been so long since we've discussed the Leafs. Like, the last time we did a podcast, Bo Bichette had not even been called up to the Blue Jays, just to give you a perspective here.
I love it.
In that time, Mitch Marner had the Marner camp. I won't say Mitch Marner, but the Marner camp has threatened to go to Zurich. What else has happened that's really... Oh, Austin Matthews is going to leave in 5 years because of taxes.
Yep.
What else has happened? A lot of people... There's been a lot of changes in the hockey media landscape up here in Canada that's got everyone talking.
A lot of Sportsnet moves.
A lot of Sportsnet moves. The Athletic is even making moves. They're adding to their stable of, or their roster of writers across Canada. And, but everyone here, I mean, let's be real. The number one topic right now is Mitch Marner. Well, the RFA is, but Mitch Marner leads everything, which I get it. Toronto is the most, I'm not going to say the most important, but the more, it's,
No. Say what you mean.
Okay. It's
say what's in your heart.
It is the most important city team
to the league.
It is the New York Yankees of.
Well, them and the Rangers. I'd say those two are pretty. Yeah. They're pretty close.
And like, the Rangers like, have made their fans very happy this season.
Yeah.
This offseason.
Yeah. So I get why it's become such a fixated issue. It's funny because it's even been talked about in Calgary and Vancouver, like on their radio stations.
And Winnipeg, and where they have two of their own RFAs.
Yeah. So, like, for people who say, oh, you people in Toronto. No, like, go and listen outside of Toronto. It's a thing.
It's not just us.
We're not making anything up. We're not basing this off.
No, I haven't heard one person talk about like Mikko Rantanen or hell, yeah. even Charlie Coyle. I think they were talking about this on Leafs Lunch partially. Yeah, Charlie Coyle, Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo. Like they were talking to what's the president? The guy that was in Dumb and Dumber.
Cam Neely.
Cam Neely, and he's like, yeah, we might not be. We might not be seeing them in training camp. Like, what?
But the Bruins, you know, that leaves you with Brandon Carlo, Torrey Krug, and a 42-year-old Zdeno Chara.
Brandon Carlo is not signed.
He's not signed either.
Oh, Jesus. So just Torrey Krug, Kevin Miller, Matt Grzelcyk, Connor Clifton, 42-year-old Zdeno Chara, who gets turnstiled. Who am I forgetting?
I mean,
Vakanainen.
Oh, and Connor Clifton, one of my old friends from Quinnipiac.
Hmm. And it's not just that. I mean, the Bruins have been down this road before with Pasternak. But it's okay because when McAvoy signs for what many will presume to be a reasonable number, he's going to say the money doesn't matter to him, just like his boy Pasternak.
Nah, I don't know. I think they just got lucky with the Pasternak. He also signed like before he broke, like he had one breakout season and they committed long term like money to him. They committed like $42 million to him or something like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people always bring that up like he was, you know, 3 years in a row having almost 40 goals and was just like, you know what, I'm just going to help out the team. That's just not realistic.
No.
I mean, it's all about timing, right? Like, these teams are going to have to pay too. Like, everybody thinks, you know, hey, we got this great salary cap structure. It's like, no. If you're good, you'll be punished because that's just the way this stupid fucking league works.
Other RFAs need to just be paying Mitch Marner for a dinner or something. Because what a solid he's doing for the rest of them by taking all the heat for the RFA market right now. Like, Matthew Tkachuk never gets talked about. Patrick Laine got talked about for 2 minutes.
You say that, Austin, but if you ask Calgary fans, they've had enough with Don Meehan. Meehan.
Okay.
So he had that, I wrote about this, and he had a, he talked at a golf tournament because he was in Montreal, and he said, we presented our offer in June, and it was a fair, we felt like it was a fair number, like a fair offer, and it was pretty much, I think for them, it was like, this is our offer, kind of take it or leave it. The unfortunate part for the RFAs, I mean, no, it's not unfortunate. It's the way the CBA
works, that's unfortunate for RFAs, but isn't Tkachuk asking for someone with, like, a 9 in it, and they're, like, how the hell is that unreasonable?
He is their best player.
No, he's not.
Well, Giordano is their most important.
No, no.
Gaudreau?
He's their most...
Matty Gaudreau is probably their... Matty, that's his brother. Johnny Gaudreau is probably their best player.
He's probably their
third best forward.
Yeah, behind Monahan.
You put Monahan ahead of him?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that said, would you not, like, say he does sign an 8-year deal for $9 million? I would trade him straight up for Marner, like, pretty quickly, considering the bullshit he wants.
Yeah. Like, if you're...
I also have a feeling nobody's going to sign for 8 years unless you're, like...
I think that's the thing.
A lesser guy, or you're a free agent who gets signed and traded.
Auston Matthews changed the RFA market the minute he signed for $5 million.
Or 5 years.
Sorry, for 5 years. Thank you, Jake. And still got over $10 million. That was a signal to the RFAs and saying, oh, wait, we don't have to commit 8 years to get double digits? Like, that...
I mean, it was long overdue, but... Yeah, I mean, I still have no idea why hockey players were just so obsessed with, especially really good ones, locking themselves up for a term unless you're getting paid like a lot of money.
Yeah, like McDavid got a lot. He could have gotten more, but that's the only reason why he would have signed for 8 years is if he got a lot of money. Like, you don't tell me that if you ask Nathan MacKinnon, you ask, I mean, you guys can throw out names too. Like, MacKinnon is the obvious one.
Barkov.
What is this for?
Like, just guys.
For guys that just sign for way too little.
Kucherov.
I mean, he's not getting paid nothing. He's getting $9.5 million.
Hedman?
I mean, the guy had more points than his team.
But he wasn't an RFA, if I'm not. Was he an RFA? I
think he said Hedman something. Got, what, 8 million?
He got just over 8. But coming off of Norris as well.
To be honest, it's pretty hard to find like a really good contract that someone signed.
The best in the league.
Yeah, but they got lucky, right? Like,
he got a good time.
He was shit, and they're just like, let's lock him up now. Yeah. He wasn't shit, but he wasn't what he is now.
Like,
he had like 50 points.
Did you talk? Did you listen to the interview he did on Spin and Chicklets?
I didn't. Oh, I listened to Crosby's one. I didn't listen to his.
Listen to Max.
His was pretty revealing in that, you know, he felt really bad about his mental game, that he went to get a psychologist. He felt like he was underachieving, which, I mean, when you're a number one pick and you're putting up 50-something points, that is underachieving. He wasn't happy with his off-ice habits, and, like, I think that maybe the contract itself may have been an eye-opening thing for him. Like, realizing I'm only worth this, and then, you know, just having that total turnaround. I think, it has changed now in that, you know, when the Leafs went to Matthews and said, we want you for 8 years, he says, well, if you want me for 8, I think they said, what, $14 million a season was his...
Yeah, you wanted McDavid money.
He wanted
more. $14
million. Yeah, I heard that from Friedman.
No, stop it. $14 million?
For 8 years.
That's no way. That's like the max allowable.
Yeah. No, the max is higher than that.
Yeah,
no, the max is what? It's 15% or
20%? Let me see. I'm going to look this up because I am pretty sure it goes up every year, right?
So, yeah, but the max, what's the cap at? 82 million?
81 and a half.
So 82. So 20% of 82 is, it is 16 million.
Yeah.
It's 16 and a half million?
Yeah, so it's gone up. Like the idea of, you know, players, like they're not going to make it. Yeah, why would Matthews say, oh yeah, if you want me for 8 years, we can work out a bargain, a discount. It doesn't work like that.
I mean, I never thought he would be. I thought he would get like maybe what he's getting now on an 8 year deal. I hated that deal, but I mean,
you hate the deal because you see how much he's being paid and it's only for 5 years. But then you also realize that he had, out of all the RFAs, the most leverage because you know a team would have thrown an offer sheet at him and he would have gotten what he wanted. And that's what the
probably, but in that sense, at least you would have got him for 7 or 8 years.
That is true. I guess the Leafs just wanted to get it over and done with, because really, look at what this whole Marner saga has turned into. Imagine if Matthews wasn't signed.
It would be a disaster. I mean, yeah, that's probably the only saving grace is that it's fucking done. We don't have to worry about it for 5 more years.
But we do.
I mean, we don't, but people do.
Everybody has to.
I am honestly not worried about it because we know what the Leafs can offer them that no other market can. Let's be real here. Like, the only other team that could do...
I mean, what is it, though? Because I keep thinking this in my head, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Why? These other players don't seem to care.
No.
Like, all they just want to be the highest paid thing. It doesn't really mean anything to them.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what, considering how we've come to know hockey players as the team guys, they always say it, they always talk about it, but then when it comes to contracts, especially this year, it's more of, no, I wanna be paid what I think I'm worth.
Yeah.
It's a total 180.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that, though.
No.
I don't have a... Yeah. If you're a good player, I don't give a shit about paying you. I have a problem when you got, like, Zach Hyman, just an example. If he goes, like, yeah, I want $6 million a year, it's like, no, that's not going to happen. I don't have a problem paying people.
If you're
worth it.
Yeah, I don't
but
have a
problem. If you're not worth it, you can't have this thing where, oh, it's not my fault. Like, the thing that's annoyed me the most about this is they were talking about, like, Leafs Lunch today. They're basically saying, like, oh, I wonder if, like, Marner, he's got to be able to handle what comes with asking for this much money. And it's so very clear that he can't handle it because he hates talking about it.
Yep.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He doesn't even answer. He's just like, that's a question for my agent. It's just like, okay,
no,
then
it's a question
for you. Why don't you let him do the media rounds?
Like, this is the part I hate. No, this is not a question for his agent, because his agent isn't asking to be paid.
Isn't answering.
His agent literally can't talk because he spews hot garbage out of his mouth every single time he does anything. Well, and he's also got his father's hand up his rear.
So. And he also has like an actual playbook, like,
oh yeah,
Negotiations for Dummies. He's reading.
It's
that.
It's bad when casual fans know the step by step of how you go about things. The last article I wrote was literally, hey, we all knew this was coming when Marner was rumored to be going to Zurich.
Two things here. One, when we're talking about the RFAs and they're not signed, that doesn't bother me more than when all these air quote leaks and speculation come out. Sure. And we know that everyone's fed up with the whole Darren Dreger stuff. Because his act is getting pretty...
How do you tank your credibility in 90 days or less?
I mean, he's pretty much tanked his own. He's had a couple big scoops, but like,
yeah,
nobody really takes him seriously.
Nobody's
no, it's because McKenzie and Friedman scoop him on pretty much everything now.
Well, and the other thing
I think he was the first that got the Tavares one.
There's a couple of things.
Remember that one. He also scooped the Nylander one. That's about it. But, you know, he does have, like, a couple scoops in there, but you're like, what the fuck is this?
But it's not just that. It's, you know, when you're in a position that he's in as an insider, so he's not an analyst, he's an insider.
And he's not an analyst for, like, we've talked about how, like, LeBron James has, like, McManaman and Windhorse and those guys that specifically, that's, he's not that. He's a league insider.
Well, maybe he's becoming a Windhorse.
The upsetting thing for me with him, and I don't want to slag on Darren Dreger because he's one of the best in the business, regardless of how the summer's gone with him in social media, is don't dress it up as something like, oh, I'm being told by a source. This source tells me. It's like, we know exactly who you're getting it from.
That's like something you have to do, though. Like, everybody is aware of sources. Because
then they think it's his own opinion, which most of it, I think some of it is his own opinion. And his own opinion makes it look pretty unbiased. That's the scary part.
What part is Marner's camp and what part is him just speculating?
Yeah.
It's probably 50-50.
I'm just not a fan of when you're asking, and these insiders hate doing it too, because they know that if they give an opinion on a situation, they know that their stuff is going to get thrown out on Twitter and into an article, and that it paints them in a certain way. Like, I think, like, Dreger's even started blocking people because it's gotten to the point where you can tell he's, you know, everything he's saying is being scrutinized.
And he knows it, too, because he always acknowledges, just like, well, read my mentions.
Yeah, well.
it's people taking the piss out of him.
Yeah. Which, don't tweet dumb things. We know you're getting your information from the Marner camp. I know you have to say sources said, but when it's this obvious, you don't need to keep putting out speculation and updates. Nobody needs to know until it's signed.
I don't even think it's that. Like, sure, there's a ton of writers that do that and analysts, but don't come up with these phony-ass things like, I'm hearing offer sheet will be proposed in the teens. Like, no, that's never happening.
And it didn't happen. Like that. Like,
no, it didn't. And then it goes out that a team, even if a team was considering, I think it was Columbus that asked about it, and he's like, oh, I only want like 4 years. And they're like, what are we, fucking retarded?
Yeah. We're going to give up 4 first-round picks, and you're going to be gone after that last pick is taken?
Like, this is, I think this is something the RFAs don't realize, is that, sure,
they don't have rights.
They don't have the right to say, we want 4 years, and we're only going to take 4 years. You know what the team's going to say? We don't need to sign you, because guess what? It hurts us more to do something like that than you.
It's gotten to the point where someone's going to have to sit out a full season for it to... Yeah. Either that or someone's going to have to, like, tear their ACL or snap their leg or something like that.
Or get
traded. Which you don't want to see at all, but that's the only way it's going to happen.
Somebody's going to have to, send a message to the RFAs in that if you're going to make demands that are just not feasible in this current cap structure, one or two things going to happen. You're going to have to go to the NHLPA and your bargaining people and say, our CBA needs to change to give us a better chance in these first negotiations, or you try to set a different market for yourself. Maybe that's what they're trying to do, some of these players. But the way they're going about it is not right. Like, I don't understand why Brayden Point is not signed. I don't know why.
Maybe he's the one that is not going to fall in line, which would be hilarious, but...
It'd be typical.
Oh, my God. I still
don't know why you would do that. Like, I would be like, fine, I'll take, like, $500,000 less than what I should get. I still want, like, $10 million.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure... Like, he's probably adamant about, but the fact that they got some of these guys for, like, $1 million, $1.5 million below is ridiculous.
What are they at?
7-9 or something?
Yeah, fuck off. That's ridiculous.
Let me see.
I think it's, like, 7, 8, 9. It's, like, four numbers. It's like, four random numbers.
It's a really weird...
It's a calculation.
7.875.
Yeah, 7.875. Which is a lot of money, but he should probably be getting 9.5.
I just remember. Consider,
doesn't Carlson make like 12?
Carlson makes 11. Something like that, yeah. I'm pretty sure he's just below, but like around the same as Doughty. Like Doughty.
Doughty makes 11.5 or something, doesn't he? Or 11.
Might be 11.
Yeah, it's 11 flat because it's not.
Kopitar makes 11.
So Carlson makes 11.5. Good for him considering his.
Yeah.
He's on one ankle.
I honestly thought it would be way more than that, but hey, good for him.
It's just tough because, look, you're seeing, like, people are saying, oh, these RFAs are trying to get the money now because they don't know if they'll get the money later. When you're seeing Erik Karlsson get $11.5 million, maybe it's a sign to say, if you're good enough, you will make the money later.
Yeah.
I can understand why the structuring and stuff like that with signing bonuses is something I would do too, but because a lot of these players are concerned about getting locked up. I honestly don't think they'll get locked out. They had an interesting article, I think it was by Ken Campbell in the Hockey News, and it talks about how basically every player hates escrow so much that they're probably going to cave on everything so that escrow is either minimal or it's just gone.
Yeah, they really do hate escrow, and that's why they didn't use the cap.
The escalator,
because escrow would just kill them. And it would kill more of the players that don't make a lot than the players who are making the most. I mean, it kills everyone. But the players who don't make a lot, that's who it kills. Like, we always heard.
It kills the middle class and stuff like that.
I mean, we always heard about Paul Bissonnette complaining about escrow, which is hilarious. But, yeah, there's just a lot that I think people don't realize that comes into these negotiations and.
Escrow also is a nice idea that there's been a lot of issues with. Growth has been pretty stagnated outside of like expansion fees, which will obviously come in. What is it, next year? Aren't they in?
Yeah, next year.
Not this year, next year.
They drop
Seattle. And then the new TV deal for the U.S., which will be after next season, I think. After next season. Then you'll be able to get a real good look on where they're going to find other ways to expand the game, whether it be, you know, the China series or, you know, investing in the women's game or investing in gambling, which it looks like they're doing.
Well, they've already got the partnership started.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the one I think that a lot of people are going to keep their eyes on because you see how much gambling can help make your team, your league, more accessible, especially in the States where gambling is allowed. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things we don't understand and when it comes to these things. And fans obviously have the right to voice their opinion. We never say you shouldn't voice your opinion. But at the same time, when you're trying to profess that you know everything, that's where you kind of have to draw the line and be like, no, not really.
No.
So you're over. Okay. Do you guys think Marner will hold out in training camp? I mean, we know he will. He will be willing to do it. But do you think it will come to that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a circus if he shows up at camp without a contract.
I don't think he'll I think he'll be there for the start of the season. I don't know if he'll hold out past that, but I think he'll be there for the start of the season.
Yeah,
I don't see him missing games. And you know what? Like, okay, this is where, like, the NFL is having an issue with this now with players willing to hold out. But then when you hear about how much these players give up in terms of money and fines and all that stuff, it makes you really think, like, what benefit, like, unless you're getting, like, it's this absurd amount you're holding out for, is it worth sitting out games? We found out in the NHL, you either sit out the whole season or you should report on time. Because if you think you're going to come in 2 months into the season and light things up, William Nylander just showed it does not work that way.
What did, if we're going by this Darren Ferris playbook, how long has one of his clients sat out? It hasn't been more than a month. Josh Anderson missed maybe 2 games. Athanasiou didn't miss more than half a month.
Yeah, I haven't looked at how long they missed.
And there's a third one. Sam Bennett didn't hold out at all, unless I'm forgetting.
Well, he signed, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, he sucks, so.
Yeah, well, all three of those guys aren't Mitch Marner, obviously. But, like, if you're looking at the... It's very clear what he does every single time. And Taylor Hall's going to be an absolute disaster next season. Good luck
Taylor
to him.
Taylor Hall, he's in UFA. So it's more of, this is what I want. Pay it or don't.
Yeah.
That's. I mean, for Taylor Hall, he's going to take a risk doing whatever he wants to get paid. So, but he wants to win. That's the thing, too. A lot of players now want to do both. It's becoming tougher because of how the salary cap works, if you want to get paid like a top player, but then want to be a part of a juggernaut winning team, like let's say for Mitch, he wants to be paid on the level of Tavares and Matthews, but then still wants to keep, like, they probably just learned the biggest lesson when Marlowe got traded. Like, consider everything Dubas has done to make room for Marner, and yet that still hasn't moved the needle enough to get a deal done. He got rid of Marlowe. He traded for David Clarkson's contract. Like, they've done so much to make sure that Marner, they've let Marner know that we're trying to make this work, and yet it hasn't done anything to progress.
No.
And that's the part that annoys me. You see these moves and you're like, okay, a deal must be getting done soon. Or, especially the Clarkson. I thought as soon as they got the Clarkson contract, I'm like, okay, now we know why they're doing it the way that they're doing it. I mean, some people still don't understand
about that trade. Holy. It's been a minute.
Oh, and we also forgot about this other thing. The perception of Marner. The perception of Marner with the fan base, the perception of Marner in the Leafs organization, and the perception of Marner with his camp and other players. Because we've already had one player speak out in favor of him in a way that got a lot of people wondering if this guy was in the loony bin, which was not a very good thing to say for a guy who's had concussion issues. By the way, that's David Bolin. Pride of Medical. Pride
I thought you were talking
Ontario.
About.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Morgan Riley. He said something today.
I mean, Morgan Riley just said the cliche. We want him to do.
He's not going to lose any fans in that locker room, but the people he's trying to keep the faith with are not in that locker room.
No,
because if you turn on Toronto, you've seen it with a guy that plays on another line that may or may not be from Sweden. The fans don't like it when you don't want to play for their team.
No.
Regardless of nationality.
So, if you forget, because it's been a while, Dave Bullen pretty much said Marner should wait out to get what he wants to get, which, I mean, that's a fair assessment, fair thing to say. Don't cave in if you're dead set on getting a certain number. But he also said that Marner, A, was the best player on the team, because apparently, you know, he plays the PK, and he's such a great two-way player, and he leads.
Yeah, also, I've heard this from, like, every fan base except our own.
Oh, and Brian Burke, too, said that.
He blocked 2 shots. One was inadvertent, and he's now Doug Gilmore, Wendell Clark status among the boomers in this fan base. That he's the greatest player that ever lived.
I've seen it from a bunch of other people, too. But,
like, did that block in the playoffs fire me up? Yes, absolutely. Come on.
I think for me the annoying part has just been, like, the complete lack of, like, they always say, like, they've moved. I have not sensed them moving an inch.
No.
I don't think they've they've gotten off whatever they wanted for the whole time, pretty much
since the season.
He's like, I want everything.
Since Austin Matthews signed his deal,
I want the money. I want the small term. Yeah, basically, I mean, that contract by itself, I hated that. It never made sense to me. Like, I don't know. I don't know how he was even considering asking for $14 million.
It's just players, again, guys know that if they ask it, they know that they can get it somewhere else most of the time. Because Matthews knows he could have gotten it if he went to the RFA. Like, if he went out and signed an offer.
Oh, because he's a center, yeah. Somebody would have paid that for him.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
That puts, and you know he's not a guy, he's a guy that's not afraid of the spotlight. Let's be honest here. This isn't a guy who's going to be like McDavid and feels uncomfortable every single time he's in front of a camera. Imagine him, like McDavid doing what Matthews could have done, which is sign an offer sheet. That would have, man, he would have crumbled. But that's not Matthews, though. Matthews clearly understands that, A, he's a superstar in the States, so there's a lot of, like, Arizona would have done it. I don't know if, like, a team like New York would, the Islanders would have considered it.
An offer sheet for him? I don't know. Considering what it would basically take, it's a good question, to be honest.
It's just so tiring. Okay,
so Friedman said the $14 million. That could have been a starting point. Because, look, they all know the cap is going up. Like, there's no denying the cap
is going up. It's not really, like, everything's going up, right? Like, that's like, it's going up with inflation.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, there hasn't been, like, a dramatic spike. For him to be worth $14 million, it would have to be a $100 million payroll.
Yeah.
We're at, what, 82, you said?
81 and a half, I think.
Next year will probably be 86.
I think that might be a little generous. I think, yeah, the Seattle will help it.
Well, I mean, Seattle, that's $650 million. They're going to be preparing for a new, you know, TV deal. Depending on how the playoffs go, I mean, if they want to do something, you can't have fucking. They got lucky with these Stanley Cup finals. That kind of saved them. You can't have the fucking Islanders. You can't have the Hurricanes. And, like, you can't have these other small-ass fucking franchises going anywhere, especially right before a big TV deal.
But see, this is the thing, though. The Canadian market makes a big, big part of it, too.
I know, and they haven't had any help from Canadian teams ever since they signed the deal, pretty much. Wasn't the only team since then? It was basically it was Ottawa, right?
Ottawa and Winnipeg.
Yeah, and Winnipeg got smoked. And there's also, like, what, 500,000 people in Winnipeg?
Yeah, like we all know the one market. I mean, Toronto. I mean,
it's Leafs, Montreal, and Vancouver.
Yeah,
the big markets.
Maybe Calgary in a little. Calgary in a way. No. But yeah, I think the Vegas.
I just can't see, like, there's certain teams where you just look at their core and say, they're never winning with that. Yeah. Calgary's one of them. There's a bunch of cores I look at and they're just like, they're pretty decent, but they're never gonna win.
So, I mean, the NHL luckily got their bigger markets to step up. This summer, New York got, you know, stepped up.
New Jersey, which was a fun rivalry with New York.
They're gonna go head to head. Pittsburgh, as long as they're in the playoffs, that makes them relevant. Washington too.
Pittsburgh, Washington's always fantastic.
I'm just.
I mean, what would you, in your opinion, what do you think would be like the perfect playoffs for the perfect amount of Eastern playoff teams? Like, what would it be? Obviously, it'd be Toronto, Boston, Montreal, New York,
Pittsburgh.
Maybe Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. Yeah. What do we name? We got six teams right there. I think Tampa Bay, probably one more team. I'm trying to think who would it be. Oh, Buffalo? I'd think Buffalo.
Buffalo or Detroit? For rivalry purposes, yeah.
No, Buffalo, you got to see the ratings Buffalo gets. No, they get, well. They are always the number TV one ratings. Market.
Yeah. TV rights, yeah, TV, and even just that ownership group needs. Oh yeah, they're diehard Buffalo fans.
Buffalo, yeah, they always are number one or two in regional ratings and stuff like that, and national broadcast. They get a ton. It's usually them and Pittsburgh are right up there.
So, and then when you look at the West, you know, it's Chicago. It's Jake, you probably know the Western clubs a little more than I do.
Yeah, like Vegas, Vancouver, L.A., obviously. St. Louis does really well. Nashville does.
Minnesota
does pretty well.
I mean, they won't for a while now.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot of things the NHL needs to happen,
but especially for the cap to get to the level where people are satisfied with like growth and stuff like that. Because I mean, I don't care. I hate the fact that there's a hard salary cap. I think it's like. It's awful for the league. Anytime there's a hard cap, it's not a good thing for the league. Unless, like, even every other major league in North America has a soft one. Like, fucking the MLS doesn't have one.
Yeah. Like, if you really think about it, the NHL is a league that... Did you see the marketing? There was a marketing poster that's been shared on Twitter.
That is another. That's probably their biggest issue. They're fucking horrible at that.
They think that hockey, what makes hockey marketable,
is the logos, which is stupid.
The logos, the fact that you know their players are not drama queens. I mean, look.
That's
stupid.
That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Like, people like drama.
The NFL. Has had probably one of the most bizarre off seasons, and I guarantee. I mean, the NFL is going to probably have one of their better seasons in terms of attendance and, I guess, views.
Well, the NFL is like unmatched, but like the NBA is they make their noise in the off season.
Yeah,
like because they got players moving, they got always have talking points. I think that's a positive part about the, you know, the lesser terms. They should do smaller term limits. The max should be like 7 or 6 years because people like seeing good players move. I mean, how fun was obviously winning the Tavares sweepstakes is a little different, but even like Panarin was fun because you had like three teams involved.
The Subban
trade. People want to see big players move. So it just brings up talking points. I know people get annoyed because especially when the Leafs are – they're usually always connected with these big free agents. But, you know, you got like Stamkos, Tavares, Sagan and stuff like that. It's a talking point for sure.
Can we talk about John Tavares for a little bit?
Okay, so yeah. I know where you're going with this. I'm going to mute my mic and let you go off. Go ahead.
Oh, why do you think I'm going to go off, David?
I'll have to mute my mic.
Jake, why does he think I'm going to go off? He's got his mic muted.
I got my mic muted.
Probably the thing that the Star wrote.
So, the Toronto Star wrote a thing this week.
Fun little headline.
I forget the headline. I just know
I remember it.
You want to tell it? No.
It was about when he would be signed, and it said he helped lead John Tavares and Zach Hyman to career high seasons.
I mean, factual statement. He helped. So
technically, it is true.
They're not wrong. In reality, and this is the thing I take away from it, is just the continuous bashing of John Tavares for a year. He has been here for a year and 2 months now in Toronto. And the fans, he's just, nothing's ever good enough for Toronto Maple Leaf fans, and it bothers the hell out of me. You wanted Steven Stamkos a couple years ago. He didn't want to be here. Fine. John Tavares comes with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner.
Takes less money.
He leaves $2 million a season on the table to help his team, hometown team, build a better core and win a championship. Bring a championship back to Toronto and be a hero in the city. And 2 months and a year in, people are already saying that John Tavares, Leaf fans, not other people, saying that John Tavares is a product of Mitch Marner. You are absolutely joking me.
Can I add something? I'm unmuting myself. I gotta add something. Not only did is John Tavares a product of Mitch Marner, John Tavares screwed the Toronto Maple Leafs because he signed for $11 million.
I'm going to throw something.
Yeah.
He put the Leafs in, quote, cap hell.
Yeah. They're not even in.
Okay.
It's not Mitch Marner. It's John Tavares, who didn't have to come here, by the way. He could have stayed in New York and had more money. Leaf fans wouldn't have cared.
This is the type of crap. When we talk about why players do not want to sign in Toronto, it is crap like this.
Exhibit A, B, and C. John Tavares.
People want to know why players don't want to sign in Toronto. Look back at the history of this team and how they have treated the Leafs have never had the best player in the league. That's just, you know, another thing. They probably could
have. It's also a lot of teams haven't had the best team in the league.
Like, there's luck involved with that, too, with the draft lottery and all that stuff. Like, there's that. But look, Doug Gilmour, how many seasons did he last in Toronto?
Three.
And it didn't end well. He ended up leaving. Wendell Clark got traded out of Toronto twice.
Is once for Matt Sundin.
Matt Sundin didn't even get the ending he deserved.
Touch on that because that Sundin era I watched a lot. And let's talk about that. Matt Sundin, great hockey player, had no talent around him for three quarters of his career.
Sundin?
Three quarters of his career. I'm not talking about when McGillney was here.
I would say after
the... good, but when they didn't have the salary cap, they
his
had
line
some
mates
good
were
teams.
Ponikarovsky and Antropov for the last
they,
3 years.
They did have they had some good names. They had some just older guys.
No, I'm saying three quarters, not that little bit where they were going for it, but near the end when he wanted to go to Vancouver. Like, come on.
I mean, he also had that terrible instance where he turned down the trade to Philly, which was very bad.
What I'm getting at here is
I remember that trade too. Yeah. He turned down that trade that would have gotten them Jeff Carter and a first round pick. You know who they took with that first round pick? I'm pretty sure it was Claude Giroux.
Sucks to suck. But Matt Sundin, I mean, like, he wasn't always surrounded with talent, but like, I don't know what point I'm making here. I'm just rattled. John Tavares is Mitch Marner, who's an all-worldly talent. Negotiations aside, he's one of the top wingers in the league. But we got Austin Matthews. You've got William Nylander. Despite what you think about him and his aversion to corners, he's a very good hockey player. Leaf fans are programmed to never be happy, and it bothers me to my core. If this team bothers you, you'd go be a fan of another team. This is as good as it's getting with this core.
Okay, I'm gonna bring something up here. John Tavares this season put up his best
47 goals.
He put up his best career year, which was an improvement of 4 points. You want to know how much an improvement Mitch Marner had this season? 25 points.
Mitch Marner also went into the month of December with 2 goals and finished with 25 or more. Am I correct?
Didn't he also have like 1 point the final?
I guess final, Zach Hyman just got in those extra 23
in the
goals,
final right? In the playoffs.
He had the penalty shot goal, and that was it. He and Tavares
2 goals, and I know he had 2 goals in that series.
Oh right, he had the
first. I think he had the first goal of the playoffs for the Leafs, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I'm looking at this in that the Leafs finally did what people said they needed to do. Be patient, draft, develop. If you see a free agent that fits what you're trying to do, you get it done. And yet, we can't enjoy it because the Marner contract, Mike Babcock needs to be fired.
Let's call it what it is. We're not enjoying it, not because of what the team's not doing. We're not enjoying it because the fans can't shut the hell up and enjoy a good thing. And it's what I said on Twitter. If you seriously think John Tavares is the problem, then you don't deserve to be happy. You honestly, this team does not deserve to make the playoffs with fans like that. That's what it is. It's not every fan. I'm not calling it the Leafs fans in general. There's a subsection that are fine and don't have a screw loose. But
that's the thing is, though, that's every sports team. Like, Jake, you're
absolutely, but
I guarantee Jets fans, there's a section that I hate Le'Veon Bell right now, and he hasn't played a single game.
Why?
Because
I don't think you realize how pathetic we are. We're pretty happy with everyone.
Oh yeah?
I can't think of one player on the Jets that people don't like. See, when you're defeated of all hope, maybe talk to me when we were losing AFC championship games. People were getting pissed at play calling. Oh my God, I remember the tales of our offensive coordinator that people fucking hated. Oh my God, that was funny.
His favorite teams are just trying to get six or more wins this season, and
we're trying to get out of the top five.
Yeah. And can I maybe, Jake brought up a point that I think rounds us all together. When things aren't going right, fans will cheer for anything that is positive. When there's a slim bit of hope, a little glimpse of hope, okay, and that you're going in the right direction, the one little thing could set everything off for a fan. Okay? We're talking about, you know, Mike Babcock, first season with the team. They were absolutely terrible. On purpose, get the first overall pick, which, I'm sorry, many teams have failed at doing that. Just ask Buffalo Sabres fans what it's like to tank and not
get still lose to Edmonton.
And still lose the first overall pick. Okay? You get the first overall pick after three straight years of picking in the top 10, okay? You get to the playoffs when nobody expected you to get to the playoffs, okay? Then you face a Boston Bruins team that apparently had steroids for their top line for two straight years, and now you're saying everything that you have worked patiently to put together was for nothing. Like the coach needs to be fired. The GM is terrible and inexperienced. I read an article also about how firing Lou Lamoriello was the best move the Leafs ever made.
They didn't even fire him. He just left.
I'm like,
There's some people that believe that firing Lou is the worst thing the Leafs have ever done.
Yeah.
No.
They didn't even fire him. He just left.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's thing that's wrong with it is he didn't get fired. The second thing that's wrong with it is the Leafs are obviously in a better spot without Lou Lamoriello.
People need to remember that Kyle Dubas is doing something that, you know what, many people did not think the Leafs would go with a rookie GM after what happened with John Ferguson Jr. Kyle Dubas, within his first year as the GM, lands John Tavares. He gets Tyson Barrie. He gets Jake Muzzin. Okay. Help me writing off the. He gets Jason Spezza for veteran
minimum. That's not really an accomplishment. Well,
he has Jason Spezza.
Would you rather have Jason Spezza?
He has Jason Spezza, but he's 37.
He drafted extremely well the last 3 years.
With the limited amount of assets, he's done pretty well with the picks that he's had. Getting what looks like maximum value on his picks that he's had.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to completely give him an A+.
No, I'm not either.
Probably a B+. You know, obviously the contracts that he's negotiated with the two of the biggest RFAs hasn't been great. But, I mean, the other RFA's done a pretty good job. I've liked a lot of the trades that he's done. He got out of a lot of the bad money that was saddled on this team. Yeah. Like, there probably isn't one bad contract on this team right now.
No. He got rid of him. He had to throw in the first-round pick for Patrick Marleau. Again, that was not a deal he signed. That's not a deal he probably would ever sign.
No.
he got rid of the Zaitsev contract. Whatever you think of Cody Ceci, I will take Cody Ceci for 1 year, then Zaitsev for 5 more years.
Yeah,
I just say people talk about that there should be pressure on him. There's always pressure on the GM. If a GM doesn't have pressure, he's not doing his job.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. And, you know, again, Jake was right. With the ass, like, he got Tyson Barrett. He decided Nazem Kadri was their best trade asset. So what does he do? He, not only does he get the right-handed shot, he gets a guy that is a replacement-level player for him to play your third line.
That's probably one of his best additions as well, is Alex Kerfoot.
We're not talking about Alex Kerfoot either.
I know.
Hey, Alexander. Sorry. Remember, he said he wanted to call Alexander.
While we're on additions, we said Tyson Barry, but also Kerfoot on that third line is going to be very good.
I mean, we were talking about how Nazem Kadri was a luxury. What do? You take a luxury and you solve a problem with it.
You fill a need, yep.
I'm hearing also, you guys have been hearing this talk about going after Pietrangelo at the end of the season.
Oh.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
And I'm just like, but with what? A, I think he stays in St. Louis.
Yeah, there's no way he leaves after a cup, I don't think.
You never know.
Unless they pay him a lot of money.
I mean, look, we said the same about Tavares, too. I think except he's won there. So, but the Leafs, like, what money will they have to pay for?
If he wants to come, you'll fucking ship out someone.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely. But you have to sign Muzzin. You have to sign Barry.
I don't think you have to sign Muzzin. I think Muzzin is a...
If Muzzin has a good season, we all know he wasn't playing healthy down the stretch last season.
But my feeling is, unless he wants to make Toronto his permanent home, because I'm pretty sure he was living out in LA. He's from Toronto, but that doesn't necessarily mean he was living in Toronto in the off season. Like, the thing is, you have to look at this as eventually some of these guys, you got to say, you know what, we want to bring you back. It just doesn't work. But that's the salary cap. Mm-hmm. Like, I would expect that at some point, Timothy Liljegren is going to be on this team. I'm going to expect that Rasmus Sandin, who everyone's talking about is the best, you know, defenseman not playing in the NHL right now.
It's Eric Brännström. Let's get that straight.
Yes, but the way people have been taught, I've been saying the way people have been.
Oh, absolutely. I know you're not saying that, but.
Well, Brännström played in the NHL.
Yeah, but he played for Binghamton for most of the year.
Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, Hughes is going to be on Vancouver.
He hasn't played in the NHL yet. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. It's just, Sandin and Liljegren are very good prospects, but it's just tiring of people that are like, rush them to the NHL, we need them now. It's like, no, you really don't. No. They're going to play third-pairing minutes.
Always overseason instead of underseason.
Exactly.
Overcook instead of undercook.
At least put them in the minors until Travis Dermott's healthy.
What I will say is,
or when they're good enough. If he's good enough to make the team out of camp, then go ahead.
Yeah. If he's not good enough.
Especially because you don't need to start the clock on another really good young player.
You know, you have to think about, you want to maximize their ELC years too. Like, just like Boston did with McAvoy.
You're going to do some service time manipulation with these boys, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Hey, you know what? In baseball, there's no excuse for it. In hockey, there's a big freaking excuse for it. It's called the salary cap.
Give Ross a ring. He's an expert.
He's the best.
Do we talk about the Kawhi Leonard comment from Drager?
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So for those of you who haven't heard, Darren Drager was on, I think this was Leafs Lunch, right? He said that because MLSC, by the way, not the Leafs, because MLSC lost Kawhi Leonard, well, first off, you don't lose a guy that you never really had in the first place. He only had on the contract for a year. And he pretty much was playing the NBA for a season when it came to like where he wanted to go next. So let's bring that up first off. So because the Leafs lost Kawhi, they aren't prepared to lose Marner like him in a situation like that. First off,
I believe the word he said was a megastar like Mitch Marner.
Thank you.
Like they're even in the same fucking stratus.
Don't ever compare Kawhi Leonard to Mitch Marner.
Did Mitch Marner help the Leafs beat the Bruins? No, because the Leafs lost to the Bruins.
Yeah.
If Mitch Marner single-handedly took the Leafs to a Stanley Cup and won it, yep, you can give him a similar...
Any money he wants.
Yep.
Scotiabank would literally be forced to kick rocks. They would just be the Mitch Marner Center for the rest of time.
Probably, yeah.
Mitch Marner would be the first current Leaf to have a statue in Legends Row.
Mitch Marner would have a statue in Legends Row, and it would just be him with a can of Red Bull.
That's it. Because that's his other sponsorship. I get it. I don't get this idea, and this brings back the Dave Bolin comment of him saying that Mitch Marner is the Leafs' Jonathan Taves, which was probably the most laughable comment because they don't play the same position. Jonathan Taves
again blocks two shots in the playoffs. Absolute hero to three quarters of the fan base.
Austin, he plays the PK.
Okay, skating around and blocking shooting lanes and blocking two shots a season is not playing on the PK. It's being out there to score goals when your guy rifles it down the ice.
So this is something I will say, though. Mitch Marner is a star. He's just not a superstar right now.
Yeah.
He put up... He put up the most points on the team for the last three seasons. Guess what? In two of those seasons, the Leafs did not have a player like John Tavares on the team.
Austin Matthews was also injured for portions of the season.
Injured for portions of the season and was playing with two rookies.
Yep.
And was playing with two rookies again. If you put Austin Matthews with John Tavares and Zach Hyman, guess what? I'm pretty sure Austin Matthews...
Austin Matthews is potting 50 in his sleep with John Tavares.
Or
Mitch Marner, for that matter. Austin Matthews pots 50 in his sleep.
I just don't get this idea that Marner has done everything himself.
It's embarrassing. It's because he's from Toronto. It's the only thing it is. And he was drafted by the team.
Yeah. And it's also because they're painting this image of a guy that's apparently sacrificed so much. Oh, he went down to the fourth line. Oh, he was...
So did William Nylander. So did Kasperi Kapanen. So did Andreas Johnsson. They took pay cuts to stay with the team. Shut your mouth.
Okay, so...
Johnsson and Kapanen didn't really, but they played on the fourth line. Everybody did. It was Babcock and Lou Lamoriello's team. He's not special. He didn't take the bullet himself.
All right, final thoughts on this before we end this. What do you think... the term will be on his contract, and what money do you think he should get, first and foremost, and what do you think he signs for?
As long as it's not the same term as Matthews and they're not up at the same time, I could not care less what he signs for and how much it is. At this point, just get him under contract. I'm done with this BS every day of having to talk about this. And we had to do it last year with Nylander. I'm sick and tired of it. So sign the damn contract or go fuck off to Sweden, Switzerland, wherever the fuck you're going.
It should be 6 years, $10 million. What it will be is probably like 3 times 9.
So that's the part I want to ask. A bridge, in your opinion, is $9 million?
No, it should be 7.5, maybe, which would also be unprecedented, but I mean, it's just not going to happen. Like,
he's not signing for that.
No. Which is ridiculous. I mean, the thing that also gasses me up, but they're like, you got other fans who are laughing at it. It's just like, same shit's gonna happen to you, dumbasses.
Yeah.
I think it sounds more like the Leafs are gonna go with the bridge. The long term contract does not appear to be anywhere close. I think if the Leafs have probably been trying so hard to get a long-term deal done. It just
doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
No.
Like they're like eight or seven years is not even an option. And I find that absolutely ridiculous. But
you know what?
And whatever.
Also, if he's saying I want 3 years as the bridge, if I'm at least to say no, we're only giving you two.
Or when is he arbitration eligible?
Oh, good question. Let me look.
Because I'd be like, all right, we'll do this. Then we'll go to the courts. They can decide it.
Let's see here. Mitch Marner. I mean, like, I'm trying to think who would have been arbitration eligible. Arbitration, one additional pro year required. So he's arbitration eligible after this year. So if you're Leafs, do you do 1 year at, let's say, $8 million, $9 million? You're like, okay.
Yeah, I would. But, I mean, they're not. I mean, nor should they.
Nope.
I mean, you're not going to do this because it's basically just going to make him want to walk himself to free agency. But I don't know. It's just very aggravating.
And if he wants to walk to free agency, so be it. Because guess what? Other guys chose to make it a little easier. I mean, minus Nylander. But Matthews, Tavares, Riley, guys like that made it easier because they wanted to be here. That, like, signing at making it easy and painless shows you want to be here. If you, like, this whole idea that he wants to be a Leaf, do you honestly believe that right now?
I don't believe it till he signs.
No, I think he just wants everything on his terms. I mean, obviously he'd probably like to be here, but he'd also, I don't think it's like number one on his list.
No, getting as much money as possible and getting what he wants is first.
It seems to be the most money is what he wants, considering he feels like they just, I mean, he didn't get his Schedule B bonuses because of some apparent bullshit rule that Lou Lamoriello had, and it's pissed him off. I mean, I don't blame him. It apparently cost him like $1.5 million, but I mean, you can't, like, what can you do? It's like it wasn't even the same GM.
By the way, he probably made that money back in another way.
Oh, absolutely. He made it back within the next year.
Probably would, but, like, still, I can understand why he'd be mad about that, but still,
that's not good enough reason.
Asking for such a ridiculous overpayment is not going to work.
No. Well, with that being said, the next time we talk, we'll try to do it maybe when the Leafs do physicals. I think they head out to St. John's on Thursday. So I think, we got to do this before I go to New York. Okay. Maybe I leave for New York on the Thursday, but I got to, okay, we'll do it the day before I go to New York. And then maybe, I'm not bringing all that stuff with me to New York. Sorry, Nick.
No, just.
I was going to say, let's do a podcast.
Go and enjoy your trip.
No, what we'll do is we'll save it, and then that way we'll do it next Wednesday, because hopefully by then we'll have physicals done. We'll have a better idea of the Marner situation, which we probably won't.
No, we won't.
And then when I return from New York, we can hopefully have...
Continue to talk about Mitch Marner not being signed.
Yeah, we'll have more training camp stuff to talk about. And we'll get into... I was going to talk about the defensive pairings and all that stuff, but I feel like that's just... I think we've already...
Jordan Schmaltz, first pairing. Let's go.
We'll get into more of that when we actually have some Babcock stuff and all that good stuff to help out with that. With that being said, thank you guys for listening. Please subscribe if you somewhat enjoyed this. Hopefully you did. We got our chance to vent a little bit, but we appreciate any support for this podcast, and we will try to be more regular now that we have other, you know, actual things to talk about. Let's be real, the summertime has been very, very, other than the Blue Jays being somewhat interesting with their young players.
It's really been a pretty boring summer.
Been a pretty, yep. Yeah, pretty,
no,
pretty
no boring. Soccer tournament of note. I mean, not the fucking Gold Cup or whatever the hell it is.
Canada's not going to the Olympics in basketball. Yeah. Shout out to them.
Well, they still can qualify, but yeah, the considering the they'll probably get no one to come out for the qualifying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath.
So we're getting over the summer lulls, and we hope to have something more exciting to talk about the next time we do this. So thank you again for listening.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.